every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack. When you're done, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. I almost burnt my thumb off there. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAHAPAFAMOUSC.
All of those.
We don't speak for none of them.
And probably one or two we didn't mention.
And we don't even, well, I don't even speak that well for myself. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelly.
And Mark.
Shelly had the microphone in her lap. What were you thinking about there, Shelly?
Why the heck I stuck these blasted things on my fingers?
She did a good thing with her fingers. She's like trying to glue on these nails with like super glue.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly I hear this, oh, crap. And I look over and her finger is glued to the nail.
My index finger was glued to the other finger's nail.
Oh. So she's walking around like this. Now what do I do?
I managed to pry them apart, but it was a close call. But now I'm looking at these nails going, why? I've never had nails in my life, really.
Shelly, have you ever noticed the thing, the warning thing on the side of Crazy Glue that says bonds skin instantly?
Yes.
Yeah. I had a friend that tried to fix a crack in the top of a Frisbee once. He started which his finger back and forth, and his finger just stopped.
Yeah.
And we didn't realize you could take it off with, like, nail polish remover or something, and he pried it off, and we laughed for a long time because there was a clear fingerprint of a layer of skin of his on top of that Frisbee.
Yeah.
For, like, forever. How was your day, Mark?
My day was good.
What'd you do?
Went and hung out with friends and watched football. Went to a meeting. Went to my mom's for dinner.
Did the Bears play today?
The Bears did not play today.
Oh. The Bears.
The Bears play tomorrow night.
They're doing pretty good this year, though, right?
They are.
So, sorry to all you Cowboys fans out there.
I got a couple
friends that are big Cowboys fans.
Cowboys won today.
Oh, did they?
They did.
Finally?
They looked horrible, but they won.
Hey, you know. I heard that, you know, when they played the Bears, they were all complaining about, oh, Tony Romo, he threw 5 interceptions. I'm like, it's not Romo's fault. The Bears have an awesome secondary.
Yeah.
And all the recovery people out there are like, what is this, ESPN radio?
Tennessee won by 1 today.
Sweet.
Came back to win by 1.
That's the official team. That's the official team of our show.
Our number one Fran.
The number one Fran, Tennessee yep. Titans. Awesome.
So.
See, I didn't say it.
I don't. Oh, how was your day?
My day was, I slept most of it.
Ah.
Oh, yeah.
A good day then.
Yeah, oh, yeah, no. And I was just commenting to Shelly.
Oh, yeah, no.
I'm awfully tired considering that I slept till like 2 in the afternoon.
You got too much sleep.
I mean, I might have. I slept a lot. That's more than I slept in, like, 2 weeks of getting loaded.
Yeah, but she still got up and managed to tidy up the garage and stuff.
Yeah.
Then headed to the studio.
It was,
the
you know
studio,
what it was?
Whatever.
Then
you know
headed
what?
To the
it
studio.
Was just like, it was just like being at a meeting. I was cleaning ashtrays and everything.
Yeah, because I was not about to do
We're smoking
all the
cigars
today.
From the Estrella Valley in Nicaragua right now. It's the soil content closest to Cuba anywhere in the world with the exception of Cuba.
Pretty tasty, aren't they?
They're really not bad at all.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, Shelly's giving me that look like something's supposed to happen here.
What's supposed to happen?
No, I didn't give you any look.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
You made that up.
Okay, so what would you like to talk about, Shelly?
I don't have anything to talk about right now. I'm just glad I'm not as sick as I was last week.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah, us too. Does that mean it's time to move to the next segment of this show?
Well, it's time for the boogie.
The boogie woo?
It's time for the boogie news.
And the boogie boogie blues.
It's time for the boogie news and the news not fit for boogie.
Lame.
Bruce went round the bend. Come back, Bruce.
I was expecting Shelly to go boogie nights. Boogie nights.
He was the boogie woogie bugle boy from Company B.
Okay. Let's see, we've got shout outs to Bill Fran.
Could have done that with the kazoo.
That's right.
Bill Fran, Donald, Phil. I'm not sure if Deborah sent one in, but we'll give her a shout out anyway. Who else sent any in? I don't know. Half of these are our send-ins and half of them are mine. Every once in a while, like, I'll find something. I'll find a boozy news story and I'll bookmark it. But then we get a bunch in the Google account, the radio, the Recovery 101 Radio Gmail. And so I keep pulling those because the listeners send them in. But then my bookmarks just get bigger and bigger and bigger. So every once in a while.
Did she say the Bugle account?
No, I said Google. You did that on purpose. Shut up. How are we supposed to
do that? That was Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy of Company B.
Yes, but you did that on purpose.
I was waiting.
You did that on purpose.
I was waiting for the moment, and then you said the Google account. I said the Bugle account. It was the perfect place.
We have some sad news for those of you who know who this is. Television host and actor Gary Collins died on Saturday.
Really?
Yes, he was 74 years old, died of natural causes. He may have been one of us, but there's no way to know for certain, but he did have a DUI.
Oh.
He had what?
A DUI.
When he died?
No.
Yeah, right before he died.
2007.
Oh.
He also, in 2011, was accused of skipping out on a restaurant tab in Biloxi, Mississippi, which is actually a felony in that state.
Wow.
Yeah, they're serious about their restaurant.
Glad we grew up there.
They're serious about their food there. Oh, I have some boozy news.
What?
Shelly's going to quit watching the Food Network.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm tired of Food Network.
Why?
Because I'm just tired. Because all the evening shows, because I can only watch it in the evening because I'm working during the day. All the evening shows are those stupid competition shows. I am really seriously sick and tired of watching people fight with food.
You don't think people should compete anymore?
Well, can't they have, like, some normal Food Network shows on at night? Now, they used to have, like, Good Eats and Unwrapped and stuff on. They don't have anything good on anymore.
So she got Netflix.
Let me give you three initials that could help you in life.
What?
DVR.
I don't know how to... I'm a 12 o'clock flasher. I don't know how to do any of that stuff.
Oh.
12 o'clock flasher.
Got it.
She's a real 12 o'clock flasher. Everything electric in the house is flashing 12.
Yes, okay. I got that off that comedy skit. Yeah. Let's see. In Santa
Back
Fe,
to the news.
In Santa Fe Springs.
Oh, that's close.
Which is just around the corner. And I will never be eating this brand of tuna again. 62-year-old employee was cooked to death at the Bumblebee Foods tuna plant.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, we sure are compassionate.
We're laughing over that is...
Jose Molina was found at 7 a.m. in the plant's a cooking device, a big, huge thing called the steamer machine.
Oh, my God.
So it's Mexican tuna.
They don't know exactly how he ended up inside the machine. But when they went in to do the next day's processing, there he was, all nice and steamy.
All of him?
All of him.
Okay, thank God it was all of him.
His entire body.
Wow.
Yeah, I will never be buying Bumblebee tuna again.
Mm. Wow.
That's... It's dolphin free?
But it's
not. But not Jose free?
That's not Jose free.
That's sad. Oh, poor Jose.
You know, their next advertising campaign is going to be Bumblebee Tuna, Jose free.
Yeah.
We really should.
Would you like some Jose on a cracker?
Okay, is there a kazoo sound for the total jackwagon of the week?
No, but we can make one up, I'm sure.
Okay.
Total jackwagon.
This is the total jackwagon of the week.
That's the asshole song.
Oh.
Was that good enough?
Well,
was that jackwagon enough for you?
Yes, the jackwagon of the week.
I love
that
word, by the way, jackwagon. Who's the guy? Lee Emery.
Which would be kind of jack-offish, right?
Yikes.
Wow.
At any rate, the jackwagon of the week award, shut up, goes to the city of Detroit.
Is there still a city of Detroit?
Fortunately, there's nobody there to celebrate it.
there are a few. Yes, there is still a city of Detroit.
Rock
a
City?
Paramedic, Jeff Gaglio, was on a call. There was a house fire, and there was an elderly man who lived there that had been rescued by firefighters. He was brought outside wearing only his underwear. So the paramedic gave him a blanket to wrap up in. He is now being reprimanded and may be suspended for giving away city property. He gave away a blanket to an elderly man, and I might add that the blankets that the EMTs were using had been donated by a corporation. The city didn't even pay for them. And he's getting in trouble for a common, you know, common courtesy.
This is a city where you can buy a house for $8,000. Because they can't sell any houses.
Yeah, the city is a city lawyer is quoted as saying, "We can't have an employee who feels that they have a right to give away state property without getting prior approval." And he noted that the city of Detroit is strapped for cash. But they didn't pay for the blankets. It's ridiculous.
Jack wagons.
We don't care.
I care.
Jack wagons.
I don't care.
Oh, you don't care about anything.
I have a blanket.
I do too.
Okay, then send it to Detroit so they can give it away to somebody. Let's see here. In San Diego, Alejandrina Giselle Guzman Salazar.
Oh, this is a drug deal.
It's a drug story, but...
Anytime there's more than three names.
And it's a felony, too, because there were four names.
Well, no, she's actually, well, she might be in trouble, but she tried to enter the country illegally from Mexico using someone else's passport. Because her father is actually Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, who is the leader of the Sinaloa cartel.
El Chapo.
El Chapo.
She tried to get into the country under cover, basically. She wanted to give birth to her child in Los Angeles so that it would be born in the U.S. Which is apparently, I didn't know this, what the entire family does. Nearly everyone except for Guzman himself in that family, including his mistresses and his wife, are all U.S. citizens because... Over the generations, the family has always come to the U.S. to give birth to their kids.
You know what's nice about
get
that?
Get a U.S. birth certificate, and then they go back to Mexico.
You know what's nice about that? We can catch them. We can prosecute them here. They're all U.S. citizens.
Except him.
Except him.
Well, they're holding her at the... At right now, they're holding her because she used a fake passport, hoping that she will be
what
able to...
What side of the
to,
border are they holding her on?
They're holding her on San Diego.
They should move her to the other side
of
the border.
Yeah, they should hold her on the Mexican side.
Well, I think they're hoping to get some information from her.
Before she sprouts.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. They're getting information from her, all right.
Yeah, they want to see if they can dig up some goodies on Dad.
Did they offer to give up goodies or have an extremely late-term abortion?
Ow.
What?
Well, you never know what they're offering up to try and make her talk.
Rude. I just think it's interesting that the whole family has been born in Los Angeles.
When she goes into labor, I'd lay her right on the border, so when the baby comes out, it actually shoots back south across the border.
Jeez, oh, Pete.
Put the stirrups right on the border.
Right
put
in
the
front
stirrups
of a tour
right
bus.
There. That's right.
Bruce will be interested in this story. In
Probably
Edinburgh,
not.
Scotland.
I'm from Bonnie Wee, Scotland, lass.
If it's not Scottish, it's crap.
If it's not Scottish, it's crap.
Scotland is actually going to be voting not too long in the future on whether or not they should separate from the UK. And actually, British Prime Minister has met with the Scottish First Minister in order to basically broker the deal, to write out the deal, how it's going to read on the ballot. And the British government is not trying to stop the referendum.
That's because William Wallace, the 22nd, threatened them.
See, you're wrong. Not only did Bruce not care, neither did anybody else. Even England doesn't care.
Should we just skip the news and just go right to the topic then?
No.
I mean, we can.
No, we're just having fun with you, Shelley. Don't need to be so sensitive about
it. We're going to have a topic on resentment.
Yeah.
Okay. The next one comes under the heading of Godshot.
Bing!
Is that the official Godshot sound?
It should be.
Bing! Okay.
Well, you know what? We're going to get sued by Microsoft for using their search engine name.
Bing! In Moultrie, Georgia, which just sounds kind of like Moultrie. It sounds like kind of a gross place to be.
Yeah, it does.
Sounds like Georgia's losing his feathers or something.
It does, doesn't it? At any rate, in that town, Dolly Stringer... who was suffering from breast cancer, Her husband decided that he was going, in order to support her when her hair started falling out from the chemo, he shaved his head. When he did that, they discovered he had a late stage melanoma tumor on his, you know, skin cancer tumor on his head that was under his hair that nobody had seen. And at first he thought, it's got to be a birthmark. So he called his mom and said, you know, to see, mom, did I have a birthmark? She said, no, you didn't have any birthmarks. So he goes to the doctor, and he has a very aggressive form of the melanoma, and if it had gone even a few more months, he would be dying. He now is going to have extremely aggressive chemotherapy and a year's worth of treatment and radiation, and he may survive, but they're not sure. But that's a total gotcha, because he chose to support his wife. He found out he had cancer, too.
That is a gotcha.
Yeah.
Bing!
And she says that, you know, there's a reason for everything, you know, and you just have to find it. That's what she
So she's
saying.
Grateful she got
breast cancer. Because now they know that now he has a chance to survive, too.
Wouldn't it have been better if he'd have shaved his chest?
Maybe he didn't have cancer on his chest.
Wouldn't it have been better if he shaved his back?
No, he shaved his chest to support her in her breast cancer treatment.
Okay. Anyway. you know how Olympic athletes are not
cheating?
Professional, but they do get sponsors, like corporate sponsors. People will pay for them to get their training and their, you know, pay for their upkeep and stuff
can
like
that. Can I put in one thing here?
What?
You said, you know how Olympic athletes are not professional? I was under the impression that our basketball team all plays pro sports.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Okay, bye.
Anyway, so Olympic athletes have these sponsors, right? Well, in the UK, the diver Tom Daly, who was a bronze medal winner in this last Olympics.
Yep.
His sponsor is British Gas, which is natural gas company. Well, they didn't really think it through when they designed his swimsuit, because the sponsorship logo is right on his butt.
Gas.
So in all of his promo pictures, he's standing there looking all studly with the words British Gas written right on his butt.
That's perfect.
Perfect.
So nobody's going to forget him. That's
way to
for
represent.
Sure.
I like that.
Does he have bubbles in the pool?
I'm sure he does make bubbles in the pool. Okay, Kazoo Alert. We have Hero of the Week. And this one is totally awesome. I think it's totally awesome. You guys will probably go, I don't care. Well... The hero of the week is Kendra St. Clair, 12 years old, from Oklahoma.
I love it when they're kids.
She got home from school and was at home when a loud banging on the door started. And she peeked out, didn't know who the person was, got a little scared, didn't answer the door. She called her mom. The guy's still banging on the door. Her mom at work. Her mom, great mom, said, go and get my gun in the bedroom, get into the closet, call 911. So she does. She follows her mother's instructions to the letter. She's on the phone with the 911 dispatcher. The guy breaks into the house, starts banging through the house, and the cops are on their way. I guess he heard, it doesn't say in the story whether he heard her talking to the 911 operator or whatever, starts to open the closet door.
Bam.
She just fires one off, hits him right in the chest.
Where was this?
Oklahoma.
Right near Texas.
Sooner. Yeah.
So the cops show up, you know, he's laying on the floor. She's a 12-year-old in the closet with a gun and she's fine. She's like, I feel bad that I shot him, but I needed to protect myself.
Got a girl.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Dude. And I thought that was awesome. It was a 40 caliber Glock.
Ooh.
Ooh, that left a hole.
Yeah.
Wow.
That left a hole on the other side too.
Wow.
He did survive. He was taken to the hospital.
Any word on why the guy was trying to get in the house?
No, it doesn't. He was just a burglar. He was just trying to. He's been
charged
with.
He wasn't a burglar. Burglars sneak in. Yeah, he was a robber.
Yeah, they don't come and knock on the door.
True. Well, he's been charged with first degree burglary, and his bond is set at $250,000.
Second degree stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. The police said the bullet traveled straight through the closet door and hit him.
Oh.
Ooh.
So because when it hit him, it went in kind of big, actually.
Yeah, because he hadn't gotten the door all the way open yet when she fired.
But
45
with a 40-millimeter Glock, a little door isn't going to really stop it.
Well, no, but it's going to flatten out the end. Like, normally it goes in small, comes out big. This one probably went in a little bigger than usual.
And stopped.
Yeah. Okay, and that is the end of the boozy news.
Why?
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101.
We have a
shout out.
Yes, we do.
To the New Way Foundation
and Sober College.
Yes.
Awesome.
What's our topic tonight, Bruce?
Rituals of sobriety. Shout out to our friend Zach, by the way, who actually brought over about 25 topics. We found two good ones. No, actually, they're all pretty good, but they're just.
Then why did we pick this one?
Because I've never heard this one before.
Yeah. Something new to talk about.
Something new. Well, and I don't know exactly how to cover it, but you know, like for me, and I think for a variety pack of people,
mm-hmm.
Drinkers that drink at a certain time of the day or they do things in a certain way, cocaine users have this way that they prepare their cocaine, whether they're going to snort it or smoke it or slam it, and heroin users have these certain rituals, and you get into recovery. And there's the rituals of recovery, the rituals of sobriety.
Like sacrificing the virgin once a year and stuff like that?
Yes.
Okay.
The goat?
Yeah. The virginal goat?
We hope. We hope it's a virgin, the goat.
We'd sacrifice a virgin if we could find one.
So, Shelley, what rituals did you used to have when you were drinking?
Oh, when I was drinking?
Yeah. Because we'll compare those to the rituals we have now.
Yeah. Well, there was the underwear ritual. That was my big... Yeah.
That's when you're deciding which thong to wear?
The sisterhood of the traveling underwear.
Oh. You know, I stashed my bottles in the sweater box in our bedroom. Well, that was one of the places I stashed them. The main place. But the kids were kind of clingy. They knew something was up, and I had to get rid of them so I could pour my drink. And, you know, we don't often close our bedroom door during the day, but I had to get rid of them. So I would tell them that I needed to change my underwear because definitely then I had to close the bedroom door. And unfortunately, though, after a while, I started to believe my lie. So every time I poured a drink, I changed my underwear. So, yeah, I was doing a lot of laundry. I never had any clean underwear.
Any other ritual?
Well, there was the... Bruce is going to be home in an hour. It's now time to put everything away and take a shower and get into bed and pass out with your head in the bucket.
How about the write everything down ritual?
Well, yeah, I used to write it. Well, that one, before I lost the notebook, I would write down everything I drank. You know, and then there's the, you know, once a week, you know, which dumpster do we use? You know, I had my favorite dumpsters around town to get rid of all the bottles. And, I mean, you know, there were rules. There were, you know, there was a path way to doing all of this. And which liquor store or convenience mart or whatever was on tap for that day. You know, toward the end, I just went the same one every time. I didn't care anymore because I had lost all pretense. But for, you know, first...
At the end, you went to whichever one was closest.
No, at the end, I pretty much went to the one that was right on the corner before I went to pick up the kids.
Oh.
Because it was on the way.
How about you, Mark? What kind of rituals did you used to have? Getting loaded rituals.
Well, you had to...
I mean, without being too graphic, I was just thinking about that. You don't want to be too graphic on the ritual. We might send someone on their way.
Well, yeah, because you've got the standard things that became rituals, like back in the day, the majority of the cocaine was cut with some sort of baby laxative.
Yeah. A horrible idea that was.
I know. So...
Vitamin B was much better.
Yeah, but I'm wondering how many people took the ritual dump as soon as they knew in their head they were going to get ready to start doing coke. I knew guys who did that. They said, oh my God, as soon as I know I'm going to get, as soon as I'm going to start snorting coke,
I'm going to go take
go take a dump.
Wow.
Just the thought of the baby laxative.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know how that came along, but it was like, at least the vitamin B, there was some healthy.
To delude myself that it was like more healthy for me because it had vitamin B in it.
Yeah.
I'm helping to get my issue of vitamin B today.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was the... It always seemed that there was, if I had a drink, there was an immediate dialing of the telephone to pick up some coke. Now, I didn't always drink before I did coke, but I always did coke when I drank.
Yes, me too.
So if I had a drink, it was time to start dialing.
Dial a dealer.
Hmm. And, although usually I planned better than that. And before I started drinking, I already had the coke. But if not...
At the end, were you planning that well?
No.
Yeah,
not so well.
Not so much.
No, it was... Well, at the end, it wasn't like I'm planning to do coke. I was already doing it, and I was still doing it. And then I was doing some more.
Yeah.
And then more and more and more and more. So...
I had different kinds of rituals. I won't go into my getting loaded ritual because there's a big ritual for people at Slam, and that's not really a good thing to talk about.
Oh, please,
go into graphic detail.
Yeah.
But there were things that I can talk about. Like, I used to unbend spoons because you can't, if you're not careful and you put a spoon away that you've used, it's all bent up and it looks funky. You got to unbend the spoons so that no one knows. The other thing is I had the rituals.
What do you do about the torch marks?
No, okay. not for coke.
Okay.
That's a heroin thing.
Okay.
But the rituals that I had were more like the unseen rituals. That means the rituals I had when I'm pretty sure there was someone there, but they were unseen.
Oh.
The go to the window ritual. The I'm pretty sure there's someone outside ritual. The in the motel room, go to look through the fisheye thing in the door and move your head way around to the side and up over the top and way around to the other side to make sure you can see.
That doesn't help you see more, by the way.
It really doesn't, but it seems like it does. Well, you know what I always used to say? What if there's a cop, like, bent down so low that you can't see him? And I thought, I look at it back now and I go, cops don't do that. They stand there. Ready to kick in the door. They're not hiding so you can't see them. Because that's a blow. It knock on the door and then hide. Dope fiends will not open the door if they don't see anybody.
Well, first off, they usually don't knock. Well, the first thing's a knock.
Yeah, first thing's a knock.
Second time's a little harder.
First thing's a knock. Open the door. I'll be right there. Open the door now.
Except for, you know, knowing what we know today, how often did you slam where you had like 3 kilos of coke in your room?
Never.
Or 2 kilos of coke.
Never.
Or 1 kilo of coke. Or an ounce of coke.
Yeah. But not...
What made you think the cops were going to show up where you were?
Yeah. Well, we used to laugh about things like that because, you know, we'd be certain they were coming. And this is when... I remember when I was dealing weed on campus, and we're, like, selling dimes, and I'm like, sure, the FBI is going to come. And I'm like, dude, I don't even think they care about that.
Yeah.
But those were the kind of rituals that I had that, you know, the ritual of going to the door, the ritual of looking out, the ritual of not answering the phone, you know, unless I've called someone, you know, those type of rituals. Now, Shelley, what kind of rituals do you have in recovery?
I don't know. I mean, there's different types. There's like the using the tools rituals, the things you do every day, like in the morning, you know, pray in the morning, 1, 2, 3. Say the third step prayer. I say the third step prayer a lot now, especially at work. It's incredibly useful. But then there's also the, you know, in the beginning, like when I would get ready to go to a meeting, there was always that anticipatory thing, you know, oh, tonight's a meeting night. And at a certain time, I would start getting ready, get all my stuff, get my water bottle, make sure I had my book if I was going to the book study, that kind of, you know. And it sort of set my brain into recovery mode so that I was better able to pay attention. We kind of have the same thing now. I mean, although now it's, you know, I take a bath before the meeting, I get all my crap together, get to the meeting, and then after the meeting we go to coffee, and then I come home, I put my pajamas on. You know, the whole evening is its own little, you know, extended ritual.
Yeah, we have a meeting ritual that we do a lot. Go to the meeting. I usually go to the meeting.
Go get donuts.
Go take donuts to the meeting. Go to the meeting. At the meeting, announce coffee after the meeting. Go to coffee after the meeting. Come home, you know, promote the show, and go to bed. That's like my ritual every day. If you threw work at the beginning of that and praying in the morning, that would pretty much be it for me, like every day.
Well, I also had the first – I don't do it as much now because I don't have quite as much writing to do now. But in the first couple of years, 2-3 years, I was doing a lot of writing. And I would set aside certain times, you know, of the day, like usually in the morning or when I was working, it would be after work. When I wasn't working, it was right after you left for work to get my writing done, because I don't know why, but I lived in terror of not having my writing ready for my sponsor every Friday.
How about you, Mark? Rituals of recovery.
I get up in the morning.
That's always a good one.
I usually celebrate that.
Yeah. Every day I wake
up,
morning. It starts well.
I'm awake. I made it.
I'm alive.
I'm alive. He's alive. Work my first three steps.
Yeah.
Work my first three steps. Not always consciously that I do that. I'm conscious by about 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning when I didn't do it. Because stuff starts to go like sideways.
Yes.
And so you kind of hit the restart button.
Yes.
Almost
like the snooze button.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite here yet. Let me reset 10 minutes.
Yeah. You know, my rituals are more evening time. Shower, get into bed, do my 10th step. Thank God I made it through the day sober. And go to sleep.
Then there's the Recovery 101 rituals.
Yes.
We show up. We talk about a bunch of stuff. Open some water bottles or some diet sodas. Get out a cigar or two. And moments before we start recording, hey.
What should we talk about?
Anybody have a topic? And that's our ritual every time.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. Today, of course, we have Zach's topics. We've got 25 of them, which a lot of them we've used before. But that's normally our show ritual. Wait till the last second, and in a way that sort of serves as well.
You know, I had...
Because we've done it before. When we come up with a topic, and while we're coming up with a topic, we've got like 12 good zingers, and they're like, whoa, stop talking.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I have people, like even today I said, oh, yeah, I got to go tonight. We're recording the show. And I had two people ask me, what are you guys talking about tonight? So I have no idea.
Did you say... Do you have something for
us
to talk about?
So I have no idea. And they said, you don't do show prep?
No.
I said, yes. We plug in the microphones. We light a cigar. We say, what should we talk about tonight?
Actually, I have show prep. Every Wednesday when I get home from work, I have to get ready for the show. I got to collect all the boozy news. If it's an edit day, I have to edit a show. Then I have to make sure that the bathroom is clean. I have to put the smelly crap in the little wax for burner so that the whole place doesn't smell like animals. And I mean, I have a whole pattern that I go through to get ready for doing the show. That's a ritual. What about rituals in meetings?
Well, the whole meeting's ritualistic.
I know, but
I mean, there's a format.
But certain meetings do certain things. Like at some of our meetings, we have little chanty things that go in with, along with
some,
the readings.
Some of our meetings have little chanty things?
Well, all of our meetings do, but some meetings in
meetings
general.
Do.
But then, you know, the act of taking birthday cakes and chips.
That's very ritualistic. And that's sacrificing the goat.
And telling a couple of the meetings to shut up and stop cross-talking. That's a ritual in some of the meetings.
That should be a ritual in probably more meetings.
Yes, I learned my lesson on that score.
Interestingly enough, we were talking about the show. I did an interview with a guy the other day. Guy called me up from Rum Radio. Said, I want to do an interview with you. And talk about no show prep. So what are we going to talk about? Well, whatever you want to talk about. Now, normally I think this guy's got topics and stuff. The other thing I didn't check is it's an hour and a half show. I filled it.
Of course.
This guy is Steve. I didn't realize it was an hour and a half show. He goes, oh, you did really well filling that up. I'm like, yeah, you have no idea.
I still had stuff.
Yeah, you could have stopped talking completely and
I'd have filled it up.
I got to go look for that show. It's up somewhere sometime.
Okay.
So, Shelley, what would your final words on rituals of recovery be?
Well, I think everybody has to find their own little patterns, their own little habits. And in terms of their recovery, making sure that they're staying up on their steps, that sort of thing, because those patterns are important, because we got into patterns when we were using and drinking, and we need to replace those patterns. We're creatures of habit.
Yes.
Most people are. And we need to make sure that we're keeping our habits in line with recovery.
How about you, Mark?
I like what I'm getting.
So I'll keep doing what I'm doing?
There you go.
That would be my final words as well.
Why use half so you could use the other half?
I figured you did. So, Shelley, who are our friends back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your little town. You can also go on Facebook, type in the number 12, followed by the word Step Gazette, and go to the Facebook group and ask to become a member.
G-A-Z-E-T-T-E. Gazette. Mark.
Yes.
We've got
listeners.
A variety pack of ways to listen. What would a really, really good way?
It would be if you would go to recovery101.net and click on the show from our site. When the show comes on and begins playing, you hear a school bell ring. Time to go to class. And
yes.
You'll see a like button. It'll say L-I-K-E.
You will like it.
You will L-I-K-E it. Click the like button, please. If you're already a member of Podomatic, thank you. You've been counted into our numbers. If you are not yet a member, a box will come up asking if you'd like to become a member. Please join Podomatic so you can follow the show.
It's free.
And it's fun. You can follow the show. You can comment and
click
like.
Click on our sponsor links.
You can click on our sponsor links. You can leave show topics in the comments.
Yes.
Matter of fact, I don't think there's ever been a show topic left in the comments that we have not done. If you go through the time of putting a show topic in the comments, very likely we're going
to
do that.
We'll figure a way to work it.
Do that one, whether it sucks or not, we'll probably find a way to do it. Nuts.
Look at us.
Hey, and start those playlists and add us to your playlists.
I would mention also at this point that there are a lot of people like listen to this on iTunes, so. We're all for that, too. If you want to listen to it on iTunes, because you can drop it right in your iPod or in your iPhone or whatever, that's great. But if you do it that way, you can still become a member of Podomatic. It doesn't cost anything. It's not like you're going to get a bunch of crap. But you don't need to listen to the show again. You can just start it playing, and then you can go there and like it and comment there. Because you don't need to sit there and listen to the whole show again. But if you've heard something you like on iTunes, go ahead, make a Podomatic account. You can go over there and comment. You don't need to listen to the whole show again. Just, it's a place where you can leave your voice where we can hear it.
Yes.
Awesome. Sweet.
Dude.
We've got email addresses at recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can join the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure as hell don't. Shelly, who's the lead on music by?
It's by Forever Amber. This is what we do.
Sweet. Ooh, wow.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Don't ever say that you knew me when I never want to see your face again. Come to my concert, you won't be in. In love and war, let the game begin. I got you beat with just a paper and a pen, thanking God for the poor within. I was raised up right upper middle class, seemed like I was slumming with trailer trash. Tweakers, beakers, freakers all bound to crash. I hate to say it, but your life won't last. Bitches telling me I look like shit, 23 and 6 kids telling me I'm lit. This is what we do, we do what we do. We do what we do, we do what we do. This is what we do, we do what we do. We do what we do, we do what we do. And now they wanna know me, and bitches can't control me. You know they'll never own me, and yeah they wanna storm me. And now they wanna hold me, it's too late for that. It's all liquid, it's black, there's no turning back. You know you wanna hear that, so what you looking at? Well, what you looking at? Close your eyes, girl, cause you're gonna get smacked. Rat-a-tat-a-tat-tat, licky-licky-dus back. Rat-a-tat-a-tat-tat, licky-licky-dus back. This is what we do, we do what we do. We do what we do, we do what we do. This is what we do, we do what we do. We do what we do, we do what we do. Don't you love me when I'm walking out the door? Don't I always leave you wanting more? Am I giving you the chill-air chills? Are you down for freaky-deaky thrills? Is your heart picking up the pace? Do you wanna see my face? Do you wanna know how I taste? Am I making your heart race? Do you wanna get naked someplace? Yeah, this one's for you. You know you already knew what your kisses would do and how to shoot right through and be light to my heart and tear my world apart and take my breath away and brighten up each day with butterflies and heavy sighs and sexy eyes. Such a sweet surprise. What you gonna do, Hex, when I blow up? Will it make you sick, make you wanna throw up? You send me hate mail on MySpace like a little girl. Come to my place, chase me like a little squirrel. My place, chase me like a little girl. Don't you love me when I'm walking out the door? Don't I always leave you wanting more? Am I giving you the chill-air chills? Are you down for freaky-deaky thrills? Is your heart picking up the pace? Do you wanna see my face? Do you wanna know how I taste? Am I making your heart race? Do you wanna get naked someplace? This is for the haters, not strictly for the haters. Thanks, you made me famous, just like Famous Amos. Now do you really blame us? And do you wanna blame us? And do you wanna be us? And now you wanna see us? You're making such a fuss. You wanna scream and cuss. Relax and watch a view. We're doing what we do. We're sauntering right through as we walk away from you. And this is what we do. We do what we do. We do what we do.